listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment. No excuses.
Got Paranormal. Is a talk show based on the integration of shared ideas coming from multiple perspectives within a round table format. Designed to examine assumptions and to expand awareness. Join S.E. Burns and her co-hosts as they make sure you have got paranormal.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Tonight's guest is Jeffrey Hinchey. Jeffrey will be sharing with us his extraterrestrial contact experiences. Joining me again is Robert J. Bradbury of the Gut and Bone Show and our professor of history and skeptical believer, Professor Earl Shandmeyer. Gut Wrench is monitoring the chat room, so if you have any questions for our guest, he will do his best to include you. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Well, thanks for having me, Susan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And I'm going to explain to some listeners out there that I was guest hosting on Robbie's show, The Gut and Bone Show, on Halloween. And we called you last minute because Robbie purposely did not schedule a guest. And I kind of panicked and asked about you because it was an hour and a half of talking about God knows what. And you were kind enough to take the call, and the show is fascinating to me, and we didn't get to talk about all the things I wanted to talk about, and I'm sure you had more to say, so I'm really happy that you were able to come on with us tonight again.
Awesome.
All right. And right before the show, I was asking you to clarify. I thought I said or asked you that you were, if you were an extraterrestrial yourself, and why don't you tell the listeners what you said to me?
Well, I mean, as far as my interpretation is, an extraterrestrial would be somebody who's not born on the planet Earth, right? I mean, if you're born on Earth and you are human, you are of Earth. But I guess the term would be starseeds for many people, where the concept is that you come into the planet as more of a seasoned soul, and you would try to assist humanity and maybe souls who have not progressed a certain way or something of this nature.
Okay. Professor, are you familiar with starseed, that term?
Not necessarily the term, but the concept, that goes through just about every culture that I can think of. The Buddhist, for example, karmic turnaround, you keep coming back until you become more enlightened until eventually you either move on completely and or decide to come back and help others reach enlightenment themselves. So the concept's very familiar. The term actual starseed, I'm not familiar with.
So one of the questions I had, Jeffrey, that I think we had to break for commercial Monday night was, when was the last time you had contact with an ET?
Well, that was two nights ago. So they were, last night, because they were here last night for a minute. So I'm currently inside of a major city, so they're not going to come really low, but they flashed up for me there. I went out to the ravine, and they were waiting for me when I got there.
And what do they look like?
Well, I don't see them. I see the ships. I'm not telepathic. I mean, there's so many people out there right now who say they have telepathic contact and they're in contact with this race and that race and look like this. I don't have that kind of ability. Apparently I do, but it's not turned on. What I see is what looks like an extremely large star. Sometimes they'll power up. So last night what they actually were is they were one of the stars. So when I looked up, the star powered up and took off. So I would not know it was any different than a star if they hadn't powered up and taken off.
So you're not hearing, you were talking about the chakras. You're not
right.
Getting, well, let's back up. You're not getting telepathic information. You just know.
Right. So what happens is the way they communicate with me the best thing I've actually done until last week. Now, last week I had a strange experience, so maybe I'm starting to progress myself. But what happened is, in my case, they'll break into my dreams. So I'll be having a normal dream, you know, where you go down to the store and buy peanut butter or something, you know, we'll say dream level one. And all of a sudden they'll break into that dream. And that's where I'll get information. So that's the only realm I tend to be able to communicate with them until last Thursday. Now, last Thursday I had a very strange experience and I haven't quite figured out what it means yet.
Okay, wait. You said that you have dreams about peanut butter and they invade your dream. Are you sure it's not Reese's Pieces?
Let's say, for example, you're watching like a show on TV like CSI, and the next thing you know, your dream will be murdered. I mean, that dream is a relation to something you've experienced that day, whatever. It's seeded from your everyday life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's kidding with you. What?
Oh, okay.
Good. What I'm trying... you know to ignore half the things he says to you, Jeffrey.
Well, you could have had a really good peanut butter and jelly sandwich before you went to bed.
I thought it was Reese's Pieces, maybe.
Now, let's get serious. What are they? What kind of information are they giving you?
Well, again, the information I got was more of empirical knowledge. So they would... Basically, it's just like you instantly are giving a packet of information and you now realize a new truth. So a lot of those things involved spiritual concepts such as emotions and we'll say something called a frequency, you know, the idea of a radio frequency. So that was sort of empirical knowledge they would give you, that you realize that certain things cannot exist at frequency. So one thing that was sort of dropped into my mind was the idea of, let's say, domination. Here on this planet, it's easily to be dominated by a lot of people. And that is an intent of the person dominating you. Well, at the higher realms, at a certain realm, that intent can't be there anymore. In other words, as you go up to the dimensions, the people there can't now harbor the domination feeling. So the idea of you being dominated here by a race that may be, say, sixth dimension or something, that's not capable for them to hold the feeling of domination over you.
Okay, and when you say races, are we talking about, somewhere I was reading about felines, carrions, reptilians, how many are there?
Well, I don't know how many there are. I mean, apparently... that just on this incoming planet Nibiru or Red Kachina alone, that there's thousands and thousands of different types of races on different levels there, because they're in touch with all the levels. So, I mean, I don't know how many there would be in the universe, but I think what you're speaking to is the concept of the original creation of this universe, where there was two races brought in, the felines and the Karens, or the Karns, whatever, and they became the two seeded races that volunteered to come in to start the whole thing going.
And the Karens were the birds or eagles? What were
right.
They?
Yeah, I've seen, long before I ever believed in any of this stuff, when I started to do more spiritual research back like in 1991, I had a very strange, the first experience I had, the first paranormal experience was where I went to a soul plane, around 1990, I guess it was 1993, and I saw a Karen there. I didn't know it was called a Karen because I didn't know this information, but I saw this big feathered being that would look like Quetzalcoatl from the Mexican teachings. And so basically, I didn't know what it was, and when I came out of that experience, that was actually what started me on my journey.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so Quetzalcoatl, I think, was one of the Karens that was one of the founding races of the universe. Yeah.
Do you have an affection for birds?
Well, not anymore, but lately that we have been actually having a bit of a more of a communication for some reason. I don't know why, but they seem to be, you know, they're just the same as anything. So.
And I liked what you explained, and I'm not going to talk about everything we talked about on the Gut and Bone show, but I did find it interesting what you said about all the, they were blackbirds that fell and in two different parts of the world, right? On the same day? Was that right?
Right. You see, from my understanding, the way I see the world is that was because the being the being who's playing, we'll call the Monopoly game called Earth, when they put their piece on the board, it was like a blackbird. It was an offshoot. They manifested a blackbird species, and that grew, and that was their game piece. That whole 5,000 birds with the ones that might have took some wind and ended up in Africa, and they established themselves down there. That was that person, that being's game piece. And when they decided to disconnect from the Earth, their energy, their game pieces had to basically fall, because there was nowhere for them to go. There was no energy to, you know, the puppets had to fall because there was nothing to animate them.
Mm-hmm. And right. Explain that soul. I'm sorry, Professor. I want you to question, obviously, but I just want to go back to the soul plane. That was the first time that you realized that, or it was the beginning of this journey for you?
Right. Yeah. There was a few key things. See, a lot of this stuff, what happens, and this is why I took a lot of my videos down. Basically, you have to sort of like prove to yourself that these things exist, because if they don't, it's very hard to have any lasting faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
So long time ago, it was like I was given little threads, and I could pick up on those threads or I could choose to ignore them. But in my case, I was curious, you know, because and what had happened is I was thinking I was becoming a vegetarian and I was eating more healthy. And in this particular case, I was given empirical knowledge about eating meat on the planet Earth, which is completely opposite to what everybody else is saying in this lightworker movement. And so I went to the soul plane, and this large being came along and almost scared the hell out of me, because I wasn't, you know, this wasn't even in my concept. And I'm frozen. And anyway, and then I was, as the being passed me, I was given empirical knowledge about eating meat. And so that was the beginning. Then I went to research this. I was curious why I was given this. So yeah, that's where it started, was in that particular case. Yeah.
So you were a vegetarian and now you eat meat?
Well, I was thinking about it because people were saying, you know, you should eat less meat and, you know, you should be eating. And it was,
sure.
You know, because I was researching that whole thing. And so basically what I was given was like an empirical truth that, and it's, you know, I'll just give you the synopsis of it, it's much deeper, but basically everything on this planet is for the use of mankind, and we are stewards over it, and we are allowed to take it. However, it must be in the glorification of the Creator. And if in any way we stray from that, that is the sin. And the reason why is because we're the chosen vessel for the Creator at this time on this particular planet. And there is elsewhere all over the universes and galaxies, other planets where the Creator has chosen a life form to be its vessel, its prime representation. And on that system, everything on that system is also for its use. So, in other words, man should not feel guilty about taking meat or these things in the planet. But where the sin comes, or the perversion, I don't like to use the word sin, but where the perversion comes is when we don't recognize for what benefit is, you know, it is.
Yeah.
And this is why this world is in the state it's in, because we've refused to recognize the Creator. So many of these basic things that the native cultures do, First Nations, you know, and many of the things around the older Jewish rituals around food and things of this nature, it is very sympathetic to what I received. Yeah.
Okay. Professor, what were you going to ask Jeffrey?
Well, I've got a number of questions. First, your accent. Are you from Canada or the northern Midwest?
Well, actually, I'm from Canada, yes. I'm Canadian.
Okay, yeah, okay. Caught that. Big hockey fan,
okay, cool.
So Canadian accents are easy. Well, just to hit on what you just mentioned, you used the term Creator. Could you kind of define the hierarchy as you see it? You said that the felines and the others populated the Earth originally, and that they've seeded much of the galaxy or universe. But when people talk about a Creator, you know, God pops to mind, an omnipotent being who created everything. How does that fit into your pantheon here?
Well, I don't see that. You know, I don't know. I think that these are all, people need visualizations, and if that's what they require, that's fine. I prefer a little snippet of information I got one time from a magazine that where this woman claims that she was dating a guy from Venus. But I did find something interesting that she said that he said to her. And this guy, the supposedly boyfriend from Venus who fathered her child, by the way, that's a real story in England. You can research that back in the 60s. She says that he said the deity is in the atom. So the way I see it is that the creator is a thought, a desire. It is something, some kind of elusive energy that exists inside every atom. So therefore, I looked up how many trillions of atoms that a human has one day, but I forget the numbers right now, but it's too long to explain here. But basically, that's how many points you have to the creator within you. All you must do is connect to your own atoms, connect to the creator through the trillions of entry points, and few people even think about that.
Through meditation?
Yeah. Basically, my point is that you don't actually connect to the points. The point is that if you think about it, if the creator, if the deity is inside of every atom that makes up your body, mm-hmm. okay, then it starts to make real good sense why many of these religions have brought out other things in relation to it, like taking care of your body, you know, whatever. You know, if you think about it that way.
Well, then is it every atom of your body or every atom within all of the universe?
You got it. The whole universe. That means that every atom inside of a car, you know, is technically the creation of the creator within that vehicle. It may be inert. It may not be expressing life, but it's still an entry point to the creator. And so I see the way I see a creator is I see it. It is the creator because it is inside of every atom. And every atom has the form it has because the creator allows itself to be in that form.
So essentially, the fabric of reality is the creator. It's that energy housed in every atom.
You got it. And that's it's basically living. And at some level, even something we know through science, that even something that looks like it's solid is actually moving at some level. You know, everything is moving. So.
Okay, so you use the word God a lot, just from our emails and things. I'm agnostic. I use the term life force energy. I guess that's still what you're explaining here.
Well, you can call it life force energy. You know, in my reality, and this is something that, you know, one of the reasons why I have my path, is you must acknowledge the fact that you're here. You're here to serve I don't like the word serve. You're here as an out expression of that life force energy. And you owe to that life force energy your ability to express yourself here.
I love that.
And if you don't make that recognition, then you've got some real problems coming up.
Well, oh my God, I'm so glad you brought this up. That's what I want to talk about. Let's talk about, can we talk about November 15th?
Just a sec here. I got an instant message at the same time here. So I guess it took my thing off for some reason.
You're okay.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just put my away message here on my Skype. I'm sorry there, people.
Don't worry.
So basically, what happened is November 15th. You saw my November 15th video, did you?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. First explain to the listeners why you took everything off, all your videos and information, and you disappear, right?
Right.
And now you're back since Monday.
Well, right? Okay. Hopefully you're back. First of all, I took all my videos off because basically you have to realize, please, that I live in my truck, and like currently I've got $5.82 to my name, okay? And that was the case a month ago. So in other words, I'm living on the edge of faith and reality at all times. Mm-hmm. In fact, if somebody doesn't donate, one of my regular listeners and one of the people usually out there, there's people out there in the ether who donate to me. I don't know how the angelic realm finds them, but they find them somehow and they donate into me, or this guy, the Chinese guy, ran into the back of me and I got $650, whatever. Something.
Well, wait, where can they donate, Robbie? I'll put it up in the chat room.
Oh, well, just, you know, $10, you know, they just
to give where?
Me that. Jeffrey, I'll give you my email address, and basically they can do an internet transfer, but you can't do PayPal because mysteriously everything that was supporting me got locked up. So like all in one fell swoop, PayPal was taken out, my Google was taken out, my CC bill was taken out, everything was taken out at one fell swoop. I don't know how that would happen, but it just so happened, you know. Yeah.
And when was that? When was that? When did that happen?
That was 2 months ago. It just basically, they took everything, just became all at once address validation. So this is the kind of stuff they do to people who are spreading the light because they don't want information out
there. Who's they?
They are the ones that are connected to the dark ones, the people who run this planet.
You don't want to elaborate on that?
It doesn't matter to me, but I mean, it's such an esoteric concept. It may not serve your listeners because they get probably bigger fish to fry. We can't pay attention to the dark side.
No, I want to. I need you to express yourself. I find it absolutely fascinating. What do you mean? What do you mean by the dark side?
Well, basically, I mean, you don't. This is not my information. I mean, I only have validation of it in my own life. You can go look up. It's just simpler for them to research for people like Alex Collier, and read up about what he has to say about the Draconians. Go to David Icke. I mean, all their basic foundation is very good. It's just that I actually have validated much of their concepts in my own personal life. So, you know, in my world, the way I see things is that this world is a prison. Is it, you know, that's the bottom line. It's not a bad prison, and it's big times, but it's still a prison, okay? You understand what I mean by that?
I do. I mean, some people think that this is the hell and we're going to heaven when we die, you know? Some people think that way.
I guess it could be in many ways. But the thing is that the reason why this is a prison is because we don't have full freedom of choice.
Now, I understand what you're saying. I love that you're elaborating on it.
Oh, okay, great. Okay? So... yeah, so the way I see things very basically is this way, okay? And I don't know all the history, and I mean, because I've been denied, just like everybody else who's born here, you're not given everything, you're not allowed to bring it all with you. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some real basic principles that are probably at work there. But basically, the concept is that, you know, humanity has been interceded upon by extraterrestrial races many, many, many times over the last 250,000 years. And at some point in there, we were added to with the Anunnaki DNA. That was the concept. Some people say it's fake concept, but anyway. And the idea is that we became a little too big for our britches, and we somehow inherited some knowledge from them that we shouldn't have had, and we became too smart too quick, so they dumbed us down, and they disabled us. And then they left us to do our life and say, we'll come back in so many thousand years and see how they make out. With less knowledge. Meanwhile, some ETs come along, find us that we're basically unaware of who we really are, and they take dominion over us. And those ETs were related in some way to the ones, the Anunnaki, who actually seeded us in the first place. So that's the idea somehow that the people who run these things are actually extraterrestrial, and they would be called the fallen Anunnaki. And the idea is in the background, there's the Dracos, who are not allowed to come here technically, who have a stake in the earth going back millions of years, but they're in the sidelines. So the way the Dracos keep involved with the planet Earth is they work through the fallen Anunnaki, and the fallen Anunnaki are the ones that are really in contact with your global leaders, like your Rothschilds, your Bilderbergs, and stuff like that. That is their control mechanism for the planet. So that's like a rough overview. I don't know the whole thing, but that's just like a rough overview. So there's basically ETs are trying to get into this planet to liberate it because we are hostages. And so the way I saw, for example, Comet Elenin, which I said in April was not a comet. It was a weapons platform being brought here. People said, and I said it was going to slow down in September. People called me crazy, and it slowed down in September. It's now gone, they think. You know, I don't have a telescope. I don't know. But they say it's now gone. Maybe okay. So the way I see it is that was not possibly a threat. It was a threat. It was a threat to the people in control of this planet. The way I see it was a liberation. They were bringing something here to help liberate us. Do you understand? Like, I see everything backwards to the media.
Okay, so what's going to happen on the 15th?
Okay, so what happened, I became curious about something. A week ago now, I was shown a vision of an asteroid or something hitting the Earth. And I haven't been up on all the different scuttlebutt in YouTube for the last couple of weeks. I've been kind of busy. So I just filed it away, like, what is this thing? And it was almost like alert, alert. It was almost like that feeling, like this is unexpected. It was like something changed.
Jeffrey, was this one of the thoughts that you say are dropped into your head, or was it a dream?
This was a vision. Yeah, I get.
Oh, like, it's a vision.
But vision, like a dream vision, I call them. Like I if you experience them, or maybe you have, you know what I'm talking about.
Everything's
different. The colors are different. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you used the phrase thoughts dropped into your head. I guess.
Right. Well, that happens during the vision. So what happens, they're given the vision, and you're just given knowledge. So in other words, you don't have to think about it. It's just inside of your head. It's just like you have a new, like, how about a realization? Do you ever, like, maybe you're reading a book, and all of a sudden you realize something that's not in the words of the book?
The only thing I can relate it to right now, and this may sound completely crazy to listeners and you, but I am going to say it. I had this thought dropped into my head once about contacting, if people had ever tried to contact aliens through right triangles. I suck at math. I don't know why that came to my head. So I started researching it, and apparently there's a ton of people that have actually used different instruments or techniques in the shape of right triangles to contact aliens. So I guess I can relate to what you're saying.
That is kind of an interesting concept, actually. Yeah, because really, if you think about it, what is a triangle? Like, what is it, like, you know, for example, this quantum math and stuff. I mean, what exactly is a triangle, a higher dimension, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was blown away by it. And again, I stay away from math, so I don't know why that came to my head.
Well, we'll digress, but you ever notice that there were some videos popping up, like in Mexico, these security videos and the... there'll be like some kind of a flat figure will walk through the video footage. Well, the Mayan reality, that's a higher dimensional figure that's intersecting our third dimensional space. So we see it as a flat, and you don't see the top part, you just see the legs. Or you just see like these legs walking across the lawn, you know? And I go, okay, that's got to be a higher dimensional being who we're just seeing a portion of it through this reality. So anyway, that's a interesting concept of your right angles and making shapes, because you could be actually making something that would then extend to a higher dimension.
Exactly. And yeah. So, okay, on this thought here, we're going to take a 5-minute break, Jeffrey, and we're going to get back to November 15th when we come back. We're here with Jeffrey Hinchy.
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll be back in about 5. Thanks.
Okay. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
Tenacity Radio, your source for eclectic talk and music. Can't make it to a show? Check out the archives at tenacityradio.com or listen to them right on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Palm Pre, or Android. Go to tenacityradio.com for all of the details, show schedules, and more. Tenacity Radio, real entertainment, no excuses.
How you doing there, sweetie? Yeah, check it out. Hey, give me a second. I gotta talk to you. Hey, you keep it calm. Hey, folks, how you doing there? Hey, I wanted to share something with you. You know, I've been checking out the latest shows at TenacityRadio.com, and one of my favorite shows is the Gut and Bone Show. I've recently found out that I can get that show on my... Hey, knock it off! On my phone. That's right. Stitcher.com has an app for your Palm Pre, your BlackBerry, your Android phone, and your iPhone. Go on down to Stitcher.com and get yourself the app. Download it free today at Stitcher.com.
Welcome to the world of psychic phenomena.
Psychics and their abilities are just primeval instincts most of us no longer use.
Join me, Becca Boyd, every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 Eastern on TenacityRadio.com for the Psychic Switch. Are you ready to throw your psychic switch on?
We're back with Jeffrey Hinchy. All right, so we left it off at, let me adjust this. We left it off at, actually, Jeffrey, you made a comment about the people who don't get, now Claire, correct me if I'm wrong, that don't get in touch with God may have a problem on the 15th of November.
No, the 15th of November has got nothing to do with that. I mean, there's concurrent threads going on the planet.
Thank
right?
God, something, because you mentioned everybody burning up at some point, and I'm thinking, please don't let it be November 15th.
Is that in my reality? There is you know, here's the quick ABCs. There is an energy hitting the planet. Okay, and for all intents and purposes, we may as well just call it Creator's energy, and you must come into alignment with that energy, or else you may have to leave the planet. Okay? Let's just put it that simple. Now, the way you come into alignment with that energy is, one, to recognize that you are here under the guest privileges, we'll say, of the Creator and Earth, or else you wouldn't be here. Okay? There isn't any other reason. There's nothing else to allow you to come here but those two basic energies and your desire to come here. So the first thing you must do is acknowledge that relationship with the dog, and that there is a Creator, and that you are here as the guest of the Creator and secondary Mother Earth, or Earth. I don't like to call it Mother Earth, because it's more than just nurturing. Mm-hmm. So Earth, okay? Mm-hmm. And those are the two things. And if they didn't want you here, you're not going to be here. In other words, if you really pissed off Mother Earth bad enough, she could withdraw her energy from your manifestation of your body and you wouldn't have to leave here, just like those birds had to die. Okay, that's the way it is. And that's the reality, and I'm sorry to say if people don't like it. Now, the second thing you must do is you must start to lighten up the energy that you're carrying in not only this life, but your prior lifetimes. Even though if you may not believe you lived before, unfortunately, if people have, they may have to release that energy. And if not, then that energy that's coming in is just going to be too much for you to handle. Now, the way I see it is like this. If you have a blank, if you have a sheet of paper and it's really translucent, you can hold it next to a light bulb, but won't catch fire. You put some spots of ink on that paper, it will start to gather heat from the light bulb. That is basically the emotions that people are holding on to. So let's say, for example, you have feelings against your ex-husband or something like that. You have to release those energies now. You must thank them for the lessons they've learned and stuff like that. There's a whole process to it, and that's called emotional clearing. So those are the two basic things that you must do in order to survive the energy coming towards this planet.
Do you feel that you've done that with your personal life?
Me personally, mm-hmm. I'm pretty damn close, I'm telling you. Okay, like I've done it, and it keeps trying to sneak back in, you know, so you have to try not to create any new karmic ties. And I believe I've done a good portion of it. I'm not saying that I'm completely clear. I'm probably 60% done. I probably have 40% left, and that's after like 3 years of intense work. So this is something that people shouldn't be dilly-dallying on. They should be getting to doing it now. Yeah.
Well, Jeffrey, I practice much the same as you do on clearing karma and focused meditation and hypnosis, and it's such a long process that and most of the world is so far behind ever achieving that level of enlightenment. Are we saying that the vast majority of people here are not going to be able to stay?
Yep.
Because I don't know many people that have cleared even their emotional baggage from this life, let alone past lives.
Yeah, you pretty well got it. You know, the thing is unless there's only one way you're going to do it, and that is you have to open up to the thought that there is some kind of guides, extraterrestrials, or something above you, smarter than you, that's more knowledgeable than you, and you've got to sit there in meditation and put the way up to do this now, and you need assistance on how to do it. And the only thing I would say there, though, Earl, is that the problem I have with just the statement they may not make it is that it could be still a much more enjoyable ride, okay? So if you may not be successful in clearing all of your karma, but if you could just clear 10% before this energy hits here, it may make all the difference to you in the world.
Okay, Jeffrey, we do have a question in the chat room from Happy. Sure. And she wants to know if you can elaborate on how to clear your karma.
Well, for example, I tried to make a little tongue-in-cheek video yesterday about doing it on my channel. I think you might have saw it, hopefully.
Yeah, the one about your ex-girlfriend?
Well,
it wasn't don't get into the details,
up, right? But you know, I use my character.
Don't get into the details, okay? But kind of brush on
but
it.
You get the idea, right? Okay, here's a quick way. The way you do it is that you must, you know, energy follows intent. So you must have the intent, and the intent is to honestly resolve this situation. So let's say, for example, in my case, my awakening process and my morphogenesis was when I found this myself to serendipity, was I had been estranged from my children for 6 years. My ex-wife had lied about me on TV. She had said things that was not true. She changed my, enrolled my kids in a school, blah, 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 blah. I had a husband who used to harass me and all of this stuff. So I sat in meditation one day and I brought them both up in my mind. And then I thought about that, and I thought about the feelings of emotion that came up. And then what I did is, in my case, I just metaphysically, in my mind, sent some light into the situation. And then I thanked them for the lessons that they learned me, because they, in a way, they gave me a whole different perspective on life. And there was things that I learned as a result. And I started to acknowledge what I learned as a result of this horrific situation that basically almost cost me my life, you know, through suicide. So basically what I had to do is I had to acknowledge the beneficial things. And I had to thank them for their role and possibly any kind of energy costs that they will have in the future and future lives as a result of holding that role for me. Because you see, there's energy. By them doing that, they picked up energy. So in other words, for me to have that experience, they had to take a chance on something. They had to take a cost. So I thanked them for that, and I sent them, in my case, I sent them pink energy. And when that happened, I felt a heat hit my heart, and it radiated through my whole body. And I heard the word morphogenesis. Now, I didn't know what morphogenesis was, but apparently it means this beginning of a new shape. So for me, that was the first time that I really realized that there was energy that had to be cleared up. And so I went on to do that process for many other people. So the idea is not to think about polarity. I hate that person. That person's crud. Think about what they learned you. What did you learn from that? Did they give you a freedom? You know, the day that my ex-wife decided she didn't want to be married, she also gave me freedom in many ways. You see?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so,
I'm sorry, Jeff. I just have pretty, I'm going to say it. I don't even know how to say this today. Today I was in a deep, I had a really bad couple of days. My car was stolen and just a really crappy couple of days. And I decided today I needed to do some very deep meditation and self-hypnosis. And Jeff, this fits so completely into what you're saying that I'm almost speechless. And I took myself in and I went deeper than I've ever went into the meditation and my self-hypnosis. And as part of that, for some reason today, my personality split off, and I actually addressed two previous issues that had been sitting in my subconscious since I was 5 years old, and that had been completely dominating my character and personality in a negative way for my entire life. And I literally spoke to that part of myself, forgave that part of myself, and re-embraced that part of myself, and felt, and this is what gets me, it actually came to my mind, you've ascended, you've taken your step forward, you're now at a higher level.
Right, and that you began your own morphogenesis right there at that moment. Yeah.
Incredible amount of energy. I've never felt more energy flow through every molecule of my body from head to toe, every chakra. There was no impeding the energy that was flowing through my body. I felt my clothes disappear off of my body. I was completely free of the physical body. If I didn't have that experience that matched exactly what you just said, I can't even tell you how I understand what you're saying right now. I completely understand it, and I didn't understand it till you said it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that because this is such an important thing for people to learn right now, that this is the time that we have to realize that this is all a game, and that this is like this polarity, thinking we must stop about good and evil and things. Now, what I find extremely important, and I think you touched on something there that I would like to share as well. If we look at a car engine, if you know anything about mechanics, and you want to start your engine, we know that if you have a battery that only has 8 volts of voltage, but all kinds of current, then there's not enough voltage for the solenoid for the starter to click over, so therefore the engine never gets turned over. And we know if the battery has lots of voltage but no current, then even though the solenoid is triggered, there's not enough voltage to actually turn the engine. So in order to start the changes and the evolvement for some people, I'm talking maybe not the really young children that's just arrived, but I'm talking people maybe 30 years and a plus, then what's important In order for them to start the exact engine that you started today, the revving up, the engine, you must have both the voltage and the polarity in order to start the engine. So today, you just had the right combination of voltage and current to start your engine today.
Yeah, it literally felt like those couple of issues had hindered that energy from flowing. That it couldn't. Yes. It was been blocked and blocked and blocked. And today, for the first time, I felt so much more powerful than I have ever felt it before. That it was the greatest spiritual sensation I have ever had, with or without drugs or anything else. It is the most powerful experience I have ever had.
Okay, you do that for the next 3 years, you can understand where I'm at now. Okay, because this is what I've been doing for 3 years. You know, actually 2 years, a little over 2.5 years now since that first moment. And it just gets better and better and better.
Well, then we have to get into, I was asking you some questions about chakras, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. The professor would really be interested in what you had to say about your chakras.
Well, I have a new chakra system, but I don't know exactly, like, I'm pretty sure I know why I have it. Was because of what I put out for an intent to the Creator in this summer of 2007. But you see, in the spring of 2007, I had a spontaneous Kundalini rise. In other words, I not only fully opened up Kundalini, I went like maybe say 130% idea. Like I was way over. In fact, it was kind of dangerous for that to happen. And so I dealt with that for 2 months. I walked around in this state of where I was over open in Kundalini. And I think that also started some of these body changes. So I don't know the exact process of how to get this thing. But I mean, I apparently have a different chakra system, which most of humanity who does make it through this energy shift, most of humanity will have these new chakras.
And how did you find out?
Well, I had to use an intuitive. Now, what in my case, I didn't really know, but I went. I got the urge that I was supposed to go to this intuitive development group, and I went there, and someone there just decided to turn on her chakra vision, which she has that ability, and she says, "Oh my God, you have the new chakra system! I heard about it, but I'd never seen it." So she determined to journal it for me, basically. Yeah.
Hey, when you say. Because this is another thing that came to me. When you talk about ideas or thoughts kind of popping into your head, I've always kind of considered that a subconscious link to the, as you say, Creator that filters that information to you intuitively. But today and yesterday, I kept having the same idea over and over again, and that was that. We can only go so far. Our energies, our vibrations can only go so high on this earth. Our bodies can only be allowed to see so much. Otherwise, it's dangerous. Whether it means mescaline and peyote and a full-blown spiritual journey, but we can only be allowed to see so much before it's more than our minds and our bodies can take. And it's kind of interesting that you said at 130% you felt it was dangerous to have that chakra open more than that.
You couldn't walk like that in society very long. I walked for 2 months. It's just as if you are a water hose, and at all times there's like this warm steam coming out of every bit of you. You go to sleep at night and you're steaming. You go down the street, you're steaming. You walk outdoors, I didn't realize that the sun has a pressure to it. In other words, when I walked outside, it would be no breeze. When I walked outside, I felt the force of the sunlight just like it was coming out of a fire hose at me. Like,
so
this
wasn't something you were supposed to be able to feel. It's not a human.
No. And I checked out later on through another intuitive. I got access to some guides who helped me out. It's a whole different story. And I use serendipity to bring people to me, and they usually assist me I haven't paid any money except for like $60 recently to anyone in this whole progress. So it's all usually free, and in return we do trades. So what happened is this person got the information I required, and I was basically, when I was on locked, when I was on blocked, you see, I was actually, my Kundalini was blocked. So the higher, my guides unblocked it. But when they unblocked it, I was like over-tuned, we'll say, and I was it was like miscalibrated. So it took them a while to get me recalibrated properly. So I basically walked around like that for 2 months. So that might have caused a lot of changes, like that were sort of ahead of time, we'll say. Yeah.
Jeffrey. So
an advance. Now, you mentioned, and this is another thing that has been, for the last year, been on my mind, and I think it's, to me, it's probably the most important thing in the universe, and that's the idea of intent.
Yeah, energy follows intent. Like, for example, right now, these the Palladians, through this person, told me that actually, as of like April, I had 48 DNA strands activated. Now, I confused me for a little bit because I thought we only had 12 DNA strands, but that's all we can see is 12 DNA strands, right? So I've got 48 strands. And the reason why I got 48 strands is because of an intent I put out in the summer of 2007, okay? And that intent, in order for it to be done, my DNA had it changed.
Interesting.
It was a spiritual realization. And so I decided to take a path on the planet that not many people take. And as a result, the Creator granted it. And as a result, my DNA had a change. Because at the end of the day, what is DNA? DNA is only light, right?
I don't know. Energy. This is way over my head. Let's go back to the spirit guides for a minute. Are they extraterrestrials that you're speaking of?
Now, in my case, my spirit guides, I do travel with two extraterrestrial guides, but apparently it's been said that I travel with hundreds that are watching me, not only that are benevolent to me, but I'm also watched constantly by the dark ones on the planet. So they're always with me as well.
Well, do you think, there's theories out there that spirit guides it's really all connected to extraterrestrials.
Well, I would strongly believe that as well. But I mean, I'm not saying that, that all guides are extraterrestrial. You know, I'm not willing to go there yet, but I mean...
But is that a crazy... Like, does that make any sense to you? For some reason, it makes sense
to
me.
It does, but you know, I know that I have one spirit guide that doesn't portray itself as extraterrestrial, that it is portrayed as being Islamic. So one of my guides is an Islamic female, actually. Yeah.
Jeffrey, I'm kind of confused. Let me ask this. When we talked earlier about extraterrestrials and they're being advanced and therefore they have no malicious desire to dominate us. So the higher
I said on some levels they wouldn't. I didn't say that there wouldn't be, say, someone fifth that might still have that ability or fourth. I'm saying that as you go up the tier, they would lose it.
Okay, I have. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
It's the lower ones that we need to worry about then.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's and again, we have to look about, you know, is that I don't know what everybody ate today, but, you know, really, people don't seem to think twice when they go to the store and they see little nice packets that says white protein and it's actually chicken breasts. You know, we have been disconnected from the chicken's experience, you know. There is a hierarchy in the universe, and I'm not so sure that all the ET races see is any different than chickens, you know?
Well, that's a great point, because I have this fascination with toads. And in my mind, how do we know they're not way more advanced than we are? That's the way I look at nature.
I think that Robbie's pretty advanced. No, I'm just kidding. Well, that's the point. You see that what we're seeing is it's all from our perception.
Because so when we talk about other dimensions and those things, which you obviously are saying are around, right?
Right.
Can you know that's where the question is? Do right. toads?
Well, for example, the ETs that come to see me, I believe are from the parallel dimension to Earth, and that only I believe that because. A couple times they have powered the ships up so great they've almost created some kind of an interdimensional rift that looks like it was some kind of a large winged being in the sky. It was amazing. And it might have been 1,000 feet wide. So that's the only reason why I believe they're from another dimension. So I think that these beings float in and out of this dimension all the time. But they can't land here because I think that sometimes they're using antimatter. So I think that they landed here, they could actually maybe explode the planet. So that's why I don't think all of them can land here.
Jeffrey, I might have missed when you spoke about this. Now my question just flew right out of my head like an ET. Darn it. Shoot.
But you were asking about guides. I mean, right now I'm supposed to have a couple guides that travel with me. Other people have seen them. I have a spirit that likes to hang around me that was from my family. His name's Charlie, apparently. And he's from my family, and he likes the way I'm living my life because he identifies with me. So in a way, he's my guide. And I have a number of other guides who hang around, and a few that are a little upset at me right now, and they've actually turned their back on me because of some of the decisions I'm making. So the thing is...
No, explain that, though, Jeffrey. Why? They don't think you should be on the show?
Well, basically, I'm having a problem getting out of my own way, too. Like, you know, like... I'm still traveling inside of a truck. I think that they'd be quite happy if I just gave up the truck and packed some clothes and started hitchhiking, you know? Yeah.
Well, I hope they're not turning your back on you because they don't approve of us asking questions.
No. This is long term.
Okay.
So I've had a couple recently that, you know, and then like one thinks I should give more hugs. So like they popped in one day to a dream and said, we'd be happier if you gave more hugs. So mm-hmm. I have to realize that sometimes I can trot over people's feelings. So now when I meet people, I try to give them more hugs, and I give them hugs goodbye and this kind of thing, you know?
Well, I have to tell you, before we're running out of time, you come across as a very warm soul, and I really appreciate you. I really do. You come across as such a warm person. And you're so honest, and you're sharing your truth, and that's what we're all here to do. I really, not to sit here preaching, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. And if
reach out to people too, you know, and it's great because I thought you're going to be a real skeptic, and here Earl today identified with me.
Oh
well,
no,
yeah. I mean, I like to be skeptical, but when something hits home as hard as it did tonight, that's why I'm a skeptical believer.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, listen, next time you want to share some more experiences, please get in touch with me. You have my email.
Well, okay? That's awesome. And thank you all for having me over.
Oh, sure. And good luck with everything. And the 15th, we're all going to be okay, right?
The 15th, I'm pardon me?
I'm going to give you a big cyber hug right now.
Way to go. Thank you. Thank you, Professor. Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know. It's a little early to call it out on the 15th. Are we all going to be okay? You know, what can we do about it? Really, we're not in control of it. So,
okay.
Get your emotional clearing.
That's right. And thank you so much for explaining all that. Some of it. I'm sure you could have gone into more detail, but we have run out of time. So okay. I'm going to say goodbye and thank you again.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Okay. Bye, Jeffrey. All right, wow. Yeah, I wanted to give him a hug, actually. All right, I'm going to say goodnight. This episode of Got Paranormal has been sponsored by Project PE at paranormalexperiences.net, a website similar to Facebook. And it's dedicated to everything paranormal, with now it has over 2,100 members from all over the world. Stay tuned for SF Talk Radio here on Tenacity Radio, Real Entertainment. No excuses. Enjoy your evening, everyone.
We're a variety station with a diverse listenership of over 12,000 people a day. We consider each affiliate, host, and advertiser to be a part of our family. Join the TenacityRadio.com community by advertising with us. It couldn't be easier, and our professionals are always willing to go the extra mile. You're listening to this, and so are others all around the world. Take advantage of our introductory offers by emailing us at ads@tenacityradio.com. That's ads@tenacityradio.com. Tenacity Radio, real entertainment, no excuses.